Jesus.
You need a credit card to build credit, right? Or to rent a car or buy online. Most people will say you do because that's the so-called conventional wisdom. But what if the conventional wisdom is wrong? What you don't know about credit cards could get you in financial hot water someday. So today, financial planner and teacher Rob West tells you how far too many people sign up for credit cards for the wrong reasons. Then we'll take your calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, 5 Credit Card Myths. That's next, right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, there's no doubt that a credit card can be a very handy thing to have, but I guess it could be a double-edged sword at times, right?
That's really the truth, Steve. Credit cards certainly have their advantages, but all of those disappear if you don't handle them properly. And the only way to do that is by paying them off in full every month. If you don't, the interest you pay will quickly wipe out any advantage like convenience or earning rewards, any of that.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking back to, well, not that many years ago in my life, when we used to argue on the air whether or not you had to have a credit card, or whether it was Christian to have a credit card, or whether you could live without a credit card. Those arguments seem to have passed us by, because now credit cards are so much more than they were 15, 20 years ago.
Well, unfortunately, they have become, for so many people, just the way we pay for things. And yet, there are real reasons to be on your guard. And if you don't have the right temperament or discipline for it, I would toss it out. And that's why we're tackling this today.
All right. We'll talk about some of the wrong reasons. We're calling them myths. So what's the first myth about credit cards?
Well, the first one, Steve, is that a credit card will save you if you have a financial setback, like a job loss or the need to replace an expensive item. Thinking that way prevents you from saving up an emergency fund. Think about it this way. If you don't have money on hand to meet an emergency, you have to borrow in the form of perhaps using a credit card, usually at a very high interest rate. 28% isn't uncommon. So start saving now to avoid that. As we talk about, I would make your first goal $1,500. Then work your way up to 1 month's living expenses and keep going until you have 3 to 6 months worth in the bank. Never rely on credit cards for emergencies.
Fair enough. Okay. Credit card myth number two.
Well, it's that you need one to shop online or rent a car. Once upon a time, that was probably true for renting a car, but it's never been the case for buying online. The fact is, in most cases, a debit card will work just fine for those things. Now, in the case of a car rental, the company will probably put a hold on your account, your bank account, that is, for something like $500. So you have to make sure you have that much available, but otherwise, it won't be a problem.
Yeah, I'm going to try that next time I rent a car, and then I'll report back. But I've done something similar in the past, and it seemed to work okay. What else, Rob? I guess myth number three, huh?
Yeah, that is, you need one to earn rewards. No doubt it's nice to get 1% or 2% back on your credit card purchases in the form of cash or other rewards. And some cards offer as much as 5% back for certain categories of spending or certain purchases. But do the math. If you're paying 28% interest on your balance, who exactly is getting the reward? Again, a credit card is only useful if you pay off that balance in full every month.
Carve that one in stone. All right, credit card myth, let's see, number four.
Yeah, and it's that you need a store credit card to save money when you buy things. Stores love to give you bonuses and discounts when you sign up for one of their cards, but do you think that's to save you money? Probably not. It's because they know most people will carry a balance, and store cards have some of the highest interest rates out there. They may actually make more money in interest than they do selling things. A store credit card is never a good idea unless you're just plain relentless about paying it off every month. And even then, you don't need it. A regular credit or debit card will work just fine.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Time for one more. It looks like we've saved the biggest myth for last, and just about everyone thinks this one's true.
Well, that's right, Steve. It's the that you need a credit card to build credit. Truth is, you can build a credit history just by paying your bills on time. Depending on your income, of course, you can qualify for a mortgage by paying your rent, utilities, and car loan on time every month. You may want to check with your landlord about having your payments reported to credit bureaus. They won't necessarily do it, but they do have that option. And keep in mind, the reverse is also true. You can ruin your credit by not paying your bills on time. But if you insist on getting a credit card to build your rating, you can always look at a secured credit card that will only allow you to spend up to what's on deposit, so you can't get in debt.
All right, five great credit card myths put to rest. We're talking with Rob West. You can, too, 800-525-7000.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover The Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of The Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Prayer is something that most people only really turn to seriously when the chips are down. You and I can be sure that there are a lot more people praying today than there were before the coronavirus breakout. And yet this whole prayer thing was never meant to be merely a last resort. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. The startling thing is that when you open God's Word, you discover that the only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. I wanted to encourage you again with this truth. Listen carefully. The only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. In fact, we're told to come boldly, boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So can I encourage you today, take heart, pray boldly, and let God's peace rule in your heart.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
And we're really blessed and honored that you join us today. It's MoneyWise Live. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And here's our phone number. If you have a question, a conundrum, a comment, we have open lines. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. And Rob, if I might, one more warning about credit cards. This one's for the guys, and you'll hear why in a second. Having more than four or five credit cards in your wallet, bad to sit on your wallet when you drive with that many credit cards. You'll end up in the chiropractor's office. Now, you can Google this because you think I'm make anything up? No.
Maybe.
But I have heard and read from multiple chiropractors that have had to do adjustments on their clients, if you will, because they've been sitting on a wallet that's really thick because of four or five or more credit cards, and it'll do a job on your back. So
duly noted. So
there you
thank
go.
You for that. Yeah, myth number six.
Okay, let's get serious here for just a second, Rob. Obviously, our entire country is in flux right now, and we're all struggling with just what to do, what to say, what to believe, and obviously how to respond as believers in Christ, to this crisis that we're facing.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that, Steve. And I've so appreciated just the programming here on Moody Radio all day. I've been listening to Chris Brooks and Chris Fabry and Dr. Mark Job and so many others. And, of course, our hearts break as we see what's happening around us. Our hearts are broken about the death of George Floyd and the racial and even systemic injustice that exists in all levels of society that we have to stand against and speak up for any victims of injustice. You know, our hearts break for police officers around the country who've had their reputations bruised and in just the vast majority of cases unnecessarily because they're on the front lines serving us and protecting us each day in our nation. You know, our hearts break, Steve, as we watch the images of the senseless rioting, the violence, the looting that's taking place in cities literally across America. And, of course, there's no place for any of this. So as believers, I think, as you point out, we have to ask the question, what should we do? And we know that as Christ followers, our prayer should always be that we should see this as Jesus sees it. And, of course, that we would respond as he would respond. So I think our first really action should be to stop to pray. Just call on the Lord to change us, to bring peace, to draw men and women unto him. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I think we also need to listen well, Steve. We need to hear our brothers and sisters who are hurting, and we need to learn from those conversations. We need to grow and be willing to change. That's a part of the sanctification process as the Lord changes our hearts. And then, of course, we need to turn to God's word. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the antidote to the ills that plague our world, and this is true in every area of our lives. And this is also why we do what we do every day here on MoneyWise Live. We apply the truth of God's word to the resources he's entrusted to us. Remember, it's God's money, and it's a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and it's actually our opportunity to join in him in what he's doing. You know, you think about a time like this, we can actually give of God's money to our local churches as they engage culture and serve those hurting in local communities. We can give to Moody Radio to keep programming on the air like we've heard all day today to navigate the world in which we find ourselves through the lens of God's word. So I think that's clearly what we're going to do today. We're going to dive into God's word, and we're going to live out the principles of Scripture, which really will solve all of these challenges that we face today. But we don't do that flippantly. We do that with great seriousness, knowing there's a lot of people hurting, and so we want to ask God to intervene miraculously.
Yeah, you know, I loved what you said just a moment ago. We should be willing to be changed. I mean, all of us like to think of ourselves as generous, fair-minded, compassionate people, but original sin will have its way. None of us are right all the time. None of us are wrong all the time. But if we're willing to be changed, if we're willing to ask God, make me like Jesus, and really mean that in your heart and look for opportunities and not just ask one time and go on your merry way, but make that a daily prayer, a heart prayer, if you will, then perhaps all of us will just get a little bit closer to Christ and therefore get a little bit closer to the men and women that live around us that we may not know as well and understand as well as we ought.
That's very well said, Steve. I couldn't agree more.
Well, okay. And let's take some calls, 800-525-7000. And again, we appreciate your participation, and we appreciate your prayers for us. Thanks so much. Bermuda. Hi, Antoine. Nice to have you with us, sir. How are things where you are?
It's sunny right now.
Oh, great. Great. And how are you doing? How can we help you, sir?
Well, I heard you was talking about credit cards, and about a year ago I got a credit card, and unfortunately I was doing a bit overspending, but listening to your show, I finally managed to get it under control. I have a budget and a spending plan. I have 3 months savings. So my question is, should I, when I'm paying off my credit card, I'm doing double the minimum payment. Should I continue doing that?
You know, I like that a lot. First of all, Antoine, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening, for that testimony of how you've been able to make some changes that have really brought your financial situation in line with God's principles, and now you're reaping the benefits of that. Did you say you have about $10,000 in credit card debt currently?
Currently, yes, and the interest, I believe, is 21.99%.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So we want to get that paid off just as quick as we can, because that's a guaranteed 22% return on your money. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Here's what I love about what you've done. You went back to the basics, which was you've got to have a spending plan, right? You've got to take a hard look at every line item of the budget, the discretionary, the fixed, those recurring and non-recurring expenses. And the key there is once you have a bit of reserves, which you said you have 3 months savings, that's great. I'd freeze that right there. The key is to create margin by dialing back spending, by limiting your lifestyle, and by creating a surplus that can then be applied to your God-given goals and objectives. And I would say, given the situation you find yourself in, namely eradicating this credit card debt. So, yeah, I would be sending beyond your current plan every available dollar to those credit cards so you can get that paid off just as quick as you can. Double the minimum payments. Great. If you can do more by cutting back in other areas, do even more than that. And we often recommend, Antoine, the what's called the debt snowball, which is basically where you go minimums on all of them and then take all that excess surplus and put that toward the balance with the lowest, or excuse me, the card with the lowest balance. Get that paid off and then move right down the line. That's going to give you the motivation along the way to keep going. So I love your plan. And the only thing I would say is if you can find more money in the budget to send to credit cards, do it.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I do kind of have one more question.
Sure.
Because of the coronavirus here in Bermuda, they actually allowed us to do a one-time withdrawal from our pension plan up to $12,000. Now, I'm not going to apply that to my credit card because I listened to your show, but I was considering putting that in a voluntary pension so that way I can withdraw it when I get much older, whenever I need it.
I see. So you'd pull it out of the pension, which would convert to a monthly income stream and then give you a little bit more control over it in the voluntary pension?
Well, if I pull it out of the pension, my plan is to put it back into a voluntary pension,
right,
so that when I get, so that it will get interest, and then I can, when I get older, yeah, it will be a monthly payment thing.
Right. You'll just have more control over the voluntary pension than you will the pension that you have growing currently. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. 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 As long as you're not creating a taxable event, which you shouldn't. I mean, the idea that you could exercise that voluntary pension and perhaps get a little better rate of return on it and have more control over the money down the road alongside the current pension that's going to continue to function for you as you move through the years toward retirement. I have no problem with that. I think I would just not pull it out, which you've said you're not going to, but just to underscore this, not pull it out for any other purpose.
Antoine, we appreciate your phone call today. God bless you. Up to Michigan. Hi, Ed. What's your credit card question?
Yeah. Can you hear me pretty clear?
You bet.
Yes, sir.
Okay. My question is on credit cards or debit cards, whatever you use to purchase either online or anywhere. And when you give them your number on the front of the card, then there's that three-digit number on the back of the card. What I ran into at one time was I made a purchase and they said, we don't want to take the back card, the back number on the back of the card anymore, because the banks are saying that's, you know, kind of violating your security of your card. So I'm wondering, what's the deal on that? Is it required these days now, or
is that
just...
Ed, I wouldn't have any concern about that. You know, that three- or four-digit number on the back of the card is called a CVC or a CVV. The CVV stands for card verification code or card verification value, either one. And it's there for what's called a card not present purchase or transaction. So think online, over the phone. That's where you provide the code, because it confirms that you're actually in possession of the card and the transaction is most likely legitimate. So that's the purpose of it. That's why the credit card companies provide it. That's why you don't have to provide it, or it's not referenced when you're in person and they're swiping or dipping the credit card. But I would have no problem using it. Again, that's why it's there. And, it's just for your own verification purposes.
Yeah, and on some cards, it's a three-digit code. I have two cards. One has a three-digit code. The other has a four-digit code, but they do the same thing. Great question, and I'm sure lots of people have wondered about that. Thank you very much. It's MoneyWise Live, taking your calls today at 800-525-7000. If you haven't visited our website, you should check it out if you have a few minutes on your hands. It's MoneyWiseLive.org. We'll be right back.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
One way we can see if we've got an erroneous perspective is if we see walking in obedience as constraining rather than something that sets us free. You can tell right there, we have to go no further than to tell whether or not we're believing a lie at the core of our belief system. If we honestly are convinced in our mind, and I was for years, and you know what? I was good with that. I mean, this is what gets bizarre when we'll go ahead and say, well, bless the Lord. I can live with that. I believe that to be the Lord's will, that I'm going to live with a whole lot more no's in my life than yeses. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to be free. The thing about that no kind of mentality is the more you live according to the holy no, if that's what you really think God is all about, is just the holy no, then what's going to happen is that we've got that thing in us that the more we're told no, that part of us that is weak in our natural self just continues to be drawn by the flesh back into whatever was said no to. You understand what I'm saying? It's that defeated part of us that lives under the self-condemnation of, I know this is the way I've always been. I'll never be anything but that. And I was wrong.
Beth is dedicated to encourage people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today, like a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
You know, these days there's a lot of discussion about who is or who isn't an essential worker. Guess who's essential when it comes to a radio call-in program? That would be you. Without you there, we'd just be talking to ourselves. So if you'd like to chat today about something financial, a question, a comment, a concern, give us a call, 800-525-7000. Mary is from Georgia, Rob, but she's driving to Texas. Where are you right now, Mary?
I'm sitting in Texas.
Oh, you made it to Texas.
I sure did.
when you get into Texas, my understanding is you have to stop at Buc-ee's. Is there something about that?
What?
They don't allow truck drivers.
Oh, well, that would be a problem, I guess.
That's the bad part.
Yeah, well, all my friends from Texas tell me that next time I'm in Texas, that's where I have to go. Well, hey, Buc-ee's. We're glad you called today. Glad you're staying safe on the road. And how can we help?
What I'm calling concerning is I have a house in Georgia, and the house is on a 30-year mortgage plan. But I'm paying the house off in 20 years. So is there some type of rebate I get back or anything?
No, ma'am. However, you're doing the right thing. Here's what that rebate is going to look like. That rebate is going to look like a lot of interest, your money, that you're not going to have to pay to the bank or the lender. Because with an amortized loan, the longer the payback period, the more interest you're going to pay because of the way the interest works. So if you pay more than the minimum payment, thereby reducing the term, and in your case, instead of paying it back in 30 years, you're going to pay back in 20 years, you're cutting off 10 years of paying interest on top of the principal portion of your payment each month. And all of that, you could call it a rebate. It's just savings. It's money that's in your pocket at the end of the life of the mortgage once it's paid off, that if you had paid it over 30 years would have all been sent to the mortgage company. So, yeah, it's not called a rebate, but it's a very, very good thing because it's real dollars and it's real savings that that you're going to end up with at the end of the day. So I would just stay right on this track, Mary, and if you can get that paid off in 20 years instead of 30, that would be a very good thing.
All right, Vin. Well, thank you, and I appreciate your help, okay?
Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
Thank you,
all
Mary.
All right, have a blessed day. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, great question. Illinois, Silver, thank you for your patience. How can we help you?
Thank you so much for taking the call. So
yes, ma'am.
I have a question regarding credit card debt. So I have about $10,000, and I have about the same amount in my savings. And, like, with all of this going on, I kind of, like, was kind of hesitant with, like, taking money out of my savings to pay off my credit card.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I should do that or just use, like, my monthly income.
Yeah. It's a great question, Silver. Is that the $10,000 in credit card debt, is that all on one card?
Yes, that's all on one card.
Okay. And what is the interest rate you're paying?
I think it's around 20%.
Okay. Yeah, pretty high. And if you were to look at your monthly expenses, and you may not know the exact number, and that's fine, but roughly, what are the total of your monthly expenses?
I want to say maybe like about like $1,500.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a budget that you've done where you've gone through and looked at each expense and actually written it down and taken the time to track it over time?
I've done that a little bit, but not like I started and I don't stick to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what I would do. You know, if your job situation is really precarious and you, for instance, you may face losing a job or there may be a major change, then I'd hang on to that cash reserve. But if you feel like your job is fairly stable and you really don't anticipate any major disruptions, then I'd be willing to take down to about $5,000 of that. Put it toward the credit card and then keep the other $5,000 or about 3 months' expenses in reserves, and then take the extra each month and try to pay it off in full over the next year. We'll be right back.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is Psalm 91, 14 through 16, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
one more reason why the ministry of Moody Radio is so important.
This may be the only opportunity somebody might have to hear the gospel. We know that the gospel will change lives, and so that's why it's important. We need changed lives that will follow Christ.
Your gift to Moody Radio helps listeners like this encounter the gospel through clear Bible teaching.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. As people flooded streets across America to protest the killing of George Floyd, public health experts are fearing the crowds, tear gas, and arrests will lead to new transmissions of coronavirus. An Associated Press review found that in the last week, protests have been held in every one of the 25 American communities with the highest concentrations of the new virus. New York City has extended an 8 p.m. curfew all week now. Mayor Bill de Blasio's announcement comes after a night of chaos, after it erupted again amid protest over George Floyd's death, despite an 11 p.m. curfew. Stocks are closing higher on Wall Street today for the third day in a row, continuing a stretch of gains for the market. The Dow gained 267 points today. The NASDAQ up 56 and the S&P 500 picked up 25. This is SRN News.
We're discussing anything that you want to talk about, anything financial today, but we've got a lot of credit card calls right now. Another thing that credit cards are good for, neither of us mentioned it earlier in the program, Rob, but I have used my credit card to scrape ice off my windshield. Now, I'm not recommending that all the time, everywhere, all the time. I mean, you know, 1 inch of ice ain't going to happen, you know, but I've used it and it works.
Well, and I've locked myself out of the garage and I've used it to get in the kitchen. So, you know.
There you go.
There's multiple uses.
There's an entire program. What have you used your credit card for other than what it's supposed to be used for? Call us in, let us know. And the best call gets a prize.
Wow.
Of something.
I can't wait to hear what that is.
I'll come up with something. All right, 800. 800-525-7000. Dimitri's in Tennessee, and what's your credit card question for Rob West?
Hey, my name is Dimitri. Thank you for getting my call.
Sure.
I have a question about the credit card. Basically, me and my wife, we got a credit card, and we strictly use this credit card for all of our purchases, like gas, grocery, and everything. And what we do is we pay it off every month.
Yeah.
So my question is that a good idea, or, you know, or should I just close my card and just use cash or debit card?
Yeah, Dimitri, I don't have any problem with this plan. And the key was that you said you and your wife use it to pay for your budgeted items. So as long as you're not using the credit card to buy things you wouldn't otherwise have purchased, but these are all planned budgeted expenses. Number two, you're paying it off in full every month, so you're not paying any interest. And as long as there's not an annual fee of some kind, because these days there's not really any reason to do that. There's great cards with great rebates that have no annual fees. As long as you're doing those things, then it's providing the convenience of you being able to use that throughout the month and not have to carry cash or envelopes. And then number two, you're building your credit, because every month you pay it on time. It's being noted that you're an on-time payer, which is keeping your credit file current and keeping your credit score high. So I think I would stay right with it and continue on the course you're on.
All right. Perfect. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. God bless. All right, out to Kansas City. Cosetta, what's your question today for Rob West? Cosetta, are you with us? All right, we're having a...
I think there she is. Yeah, turn down your radio for us and go right ahead.
Cosetta, let's try this.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay. I can't hear you through my phone, but I can hear you through my stereo. My question is, on my credit card, I paid them before the bill is due. So I may charge them on it, and a week later, I pay it off. Is that hurting my credit? Because I'm not waiting for the billing cycle.
No, not at all, Cosetta. It's a great question, and I'm glad you're paying it off quickly. You're wanting to make sure you don't run it right up to the end of the due date, which means you might miss it every now and then or something. You're wanting to get that paid off even quicker, and that's perfectly fine. What's going to happen is at the end of each cycle, which is the billing period of that card, the balance is going to be reported to the credit bureau, and you're going to be reported as an on-time payer, and it doesn't make any difference whether you pay it on the due date or you pay it early. The key is that it's paid in full and you're being reported as an on-time payer, and that's exactly what you want. We appreciate that question, though.
Yeah, and if Cosetta continues to pay this off early and in full, after a few years, what's likely to happen, Rob?
Well, it probably won't take a few years. They're going to increase her credit limit multiple times and encourage her to perhaps add an authorized user and anything that would ultimately result in her carrying a balance.
And depending on the company, some card companies may not see you as a very, very favorable customer because they're not making much money off you. So that's kind of the downside of that. But there are so many upsides to paying it off early and paying it off completely that we don't actually want to worry about not being able to get a card if we need it. Morris, Iowa. Daryl, what's your question?
Yeah, there are a lot of people calling in about the stimulus.
Sure.
We actually received ours as a prepaid credit card.
Yes, sir.
In kind of a blank. You know, it wasn't obvious from the envelope what it might be. And in fact, we had considered even just tossing it away as a, figured out it's like a credit card offer or something. But then we did open it, and yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So some people may have gotten it and not realized it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you're exactly right, Daryl, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we do need to continue to get the word out. Some people feel like this may be a scam. They're hesitant to use it, but it is, in fact, what's happening. The Treasury Department said it would send these loaded debit cards with stimulus payments to literally millions of Americans. The cards are issued by a bank called MetaBank, M-E-T-A, and they're specifically sent to people who didn't provide the IRS with banking information and whose tax return was processed either in Austin, Texas, or in Andover, Massachusetts. But you can withdraw cash from an ATM. You can transfer the funds to a bank account. You can even have them issue a check or make purchases wherever Visa is accepted. So it's perfectly legitimate. And, you know, I would proceed, and I appreciate you calling it out because it does come in an envelope that clearly does not indicate what it is, and you might understand why, because they don't want it to be stolen.
Yeah. Great call, Daryl. Great reminder for all of our listeners. Thank you very much. Illinois, Melanie, what's your comment or question for Rob?
Hi. My comment or my question is, I filled out for the stimulus after I did my, I did my taxes and turned it in, and I got my stimulus a few weeks later, and I had to carry, or I had to add on my daughter, which is, she was only 17. And it said that I was going to be getting $500 for her because she hadn't worked. She hadn't never turned in an income tax, and she was able to be put on mine. Well, I received mine a few weeks later, like the end of April, but she still hasn't received hers, or I still haven't received hers. And I don't know why they didn't. They just put it in my bank. I don't know why they didn't just put it in the bank with the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, oftentimes they are. Oftentimes they are coming separate. Did you claim your daughter as a dependent on your 2019 tax return? Or,
yes.
Or on your, what about 2020?
Well, I haven't done 2020 yet. So.
You haven't done 2020. Okay.
She's 18 now and is getting ready to start working, so I won't be able to claim her again.
Yes. Okay, so that that may be the issue, is that it's not she's not being claimed as a dependent for 2020. When you file your 2020 tax return, had she still been a dependent, you would have clearly gotten it. But that may be the issue. So I would check out the IRS's website. She also has to be under 17 to get the $500. What did you say her age was?
She was 17, but it said on the thing when I read it that she was eligible. She was 17 or under and made her eligible for the $500. So I'm thinking, so either send it, separate or in a check in her name. I didn't know how they do it, or put it in my account with my check.
You know what? Let us look into that just a bit further, because there are so many nuances and want to be sure we give you the exact information. So our team will check that out, and keep listening to the program. We'll try to weigh in before we're done today.
We will indeed. Thank you for calling in. This is MoneyWise Live. Rob West taking your calls at 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be back with more right after this.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, will help you find that hope and peace. This hands-on study will show you the four H's of financial wisdom to help you apply the power of God's Word to your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at MoneyWiseLive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. So much to do in so little time. That should be uppermost on every Christian's mind. How many people do you know that don't know the Lord and may never know him unless you tell them? God's placed you as the watchman on the wall for those around you. If you share the love of God with them and they don't respond, they'll die in their sin. But if you don't share the love of God with them, they'll die in their sin and their blood will be on your hands. You are your brother's keeper, and the clock is ticking. Rome wasn't built in a day, and most people don't accept the Lord in a day. It's a process. Some take longer than others. In the end, it's the Lord that brings the harvest. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
How strong is your faith? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. I read this recently on Facebook. The way we deal with uncertainty lets us know whether Jesus is ahead of us leading or behind us just carrying our stuff. Pretty confronting. Look, I know the corona pandemic is serious, and yes, we should be taking sensible precautions. Still, some people will lose their livelihood. Some people will get sick, and yes, some people will die. That's just the reality. And yet God wrote down every one of your days before any of them ever existed. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month. None of this is any surprise to him. And he has it all covered. From this day through to your very last day on this earth, he has it covered. So, yes, be sensible. Don't be afraid.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know the 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? You'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles and easy-to-follow advice. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at MoneyWiseLive.org/signup.
MoneyWise Live, a place where we do our best to help you understand God's Word and how it applies to your money, your finances, your life. 800-525-7000. Out to Oklahoma. Thank you for holding, Roy, so patiently. And how can we help you?
Well, I'm 82 years old, and I've been retired for a lot of years. Uh-huh. And my income from retirement check is $205 a month. So I live on a Social Security check and a $205 a month, which means I don't pay any income tax. I don't register with IRS or anything because I'm below the amount to where I'm required to even. I'm off the off the radar screen with them. If I, and I just received a stimulus check for $1,200. If I cash this, is this number one going to have anything to do with changing my situation? Would it put me in a different?
No, sir, because the stimulus check is not taxable. So this is not something that's going to add to your taxable income, and therefore whatever situation you were in previously in terms of whether or not you needed to file because you were below the deduction threshold, the standard deduction, that will not change as a result of the stimulus check because, again, that's a non-taxable event. So you should be fine cashing that and use it for whatever purpose the Lord directs you.
Who is it that's actually paying that? I mean, I know the government. The government makes no money, so they some taxpayer is paying in to for this to happen, isn't it? Or are they?
Well,
the
government's just expanding its balance sheet to make this happen as a result of the coronavirus and trying to stimulate the economy and adding trillions ultimately to our debt as a result of this. Clearly, this is something we needed to do in part. Unfortunately, we've not been paying down our debt during the largest expansion we've ever seen over the last decade, but that's a topic for another day. But at the end of the day, this is a non-taxable check you're receiving.
So what it amounts to is the Federal Reserve has printed us into bankruptcy, in effect. So this is just adding to the bankruptcy, making it bigger?
We are adding to our debt, yes, which is now exceeding $22
trillion. But, Roy, we'll be happy to discuss that with you another day and when we're prepared to really get into it deeply. But we appreciate your sentiment and your call today. Thanks very much. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I presume. It just says Tuscaloosa on my screen, but how many can there be? Hello, Karen. What's your question?
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hi.
A credit card with a $5,000 limit on it. I got it just to get Sky Miles or something like that. And I hate having it because I know it's a temptation for me. And I actually did spend some money and ended up paying some interest that I didn't want to pay. But I've paid it off. And I'm wondering if canceling the card is going to injure my credit in some kind of way. I got it because, to kind of build my credit and have a good credit history. But our annual fee...
Yes.
I don't know if I need to just jump ship and get to another card. And it's a pretty, reasonably high interest card, which I only wanted to use for emergencies. So it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a great question, Karen. Let me ask you, do you plan to continue to use a credit card moving forward for budgeted items and then pay it off in full? Or are you moving to more of a cash system or a debit card?
Cash system. I don't use a credit card for any. I just let it sit and I use it if I'm in a pinch.
Okay, very good. So there's really no need for you to have this card. I certainly wouldn't be spending $99 a year just to carry it around in your wallet. And I wouldn't worry about it damaging your credit rating. There's a couple of factors that relate to the credit rating in relation to closing accounts. Number one is if you are carrying balances by closing the account, if that particular limit, the credit available to you through that card comes off of the total available credit, it's going to push your credit utilization up. The balance you owe is going to be a higher percentage of this now lower credit limit that you have available to you through all creditors. But because you're not carrying a balance, that's really not going to be a factor. The second issue is just that card coming off in terms of what's available and eventually the history of that card dropping off could impact you as well. It's going to be minor if it's impacts you at all. It's certainly not worth you continuing to pay that $100 a year. So what I would do is check out any one of a number of websites. You could go to nerdwallet.com. They rank credit cards every month. And so you just look at the best credit cards, nerdwallet.com. You could go to creditcards.com. They do the same thing. You could also go to bankrate.com. What you'd be looking for there is a card with no annual fee, with some sort of cash rebate. And, if you have a good credit score, you'll be able to qualify for it. Again, only use it for budgeted items, pay it off in full. And then if you needed it, you had it. But there's nothing that says you have to have a credit card. So, if you're on an all cash system, I'd just close the account and not worry about it.
Karen, we hope that helps, and we're glad that you called in today. Thank you very much. Let's go to Ohio. Rob, you may remember a few minutes ago, I don't know what I was thinking, but we were talking about the many uses for credit cards, and we went from financial to handyman-type tips. And yes. And I sort of invented a contest on the fly and said we'd give a prize out to the best call we got. Well, we only got one call, and it's Mark. Mark's in a – where are you calling from in Ohio, Mark?
Massillon.
Say that again, please.
Ohio.
All right.
Massillon, Ohio.
Massillon, Ohio. All right. And tell us what you – tell us what you've used your credit card for other than buying things.
Well, for lots of different things, but I have had something stuck in my teeth really bad, and I've used it for that.
I love that, Mark.
Nowhere to go, and pain between my teeth.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and I used one to get in when I locked myself out, and apparently Deb said that we've had a number of callers that are calling in saying they use them to scratch their back and they make guitar picks, great guitar picks.
What?
So,
Mark, we're choosing you as number one, buddy, because you got through first, and essentially we're running out of time. But, you know, they have this new stuff out there called floss. Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, but I don't have it in my work cart.
Oh, okay.
I do now. But,
all right. Mark, here's what we're going to do. We can either send you a 2019 Toyota Camry that you'll have to pay taxes on, or we can send you a complimentary copy of the Stewardship Bible. And I think we're going to go the Bible route. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. You stay on the line. We'll get your address. And if God wants you to have a Camry, I'm sure he'll get it to you. But we're glad that you called today, Mark. God bless you. Thanks so much. See, you never know what's going to happen.
I was wondering where you were going with the free car. But
you know, you have four or five cups of coffee before you come in, and then it opens up a whole new galaxy of opportunities. Leanne is in Alabama, and what's your question or comment, Leanne?
Hey.
Hi.
My husband and I, have a credit card, and we use it for our budgeted items, so we pay it off every month. However, our budgeted items are pretty much equivalent to the max limit on the credit card. So essentially, we're maxing out our credit card every month, even though we're paying it off.
Right.
Is this affecting our credit in a negative way? If so, would a solution be to just increase the credit limit?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, here's why it is, because the balance that's being reported is before you pay it off every month. And so you're actually showing on your credit report that you're charging it up to the limit, which even though you're paying on time, and that's a good thing. In fact, that's the most significant thing. It is running a higher utilization of the total available balance, even though you're paying it down and then charging it back up. So you would be better served to go ahead and have that increase in limit, as long as that's not going to be a temptation to spend more or spend for non-budgeted items that don't align with your goals and your values. But given that you're an on-time payer every month, given that you're paying it in full every month, I suspect they won't hesitate to increase that limit, and that will likely improve your overall credit score. So it's a great question, very perceptive on your part, and I would totally agree.
Leanne, thank you very much. We do appreciate that. And Rob, before we go today, we have just a couple of minutes left here at the most. The E! Magazine, fill us in on that. Why should folks check that out? For one thing, it's free, right?
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. It's brand new, and it's out for our very first quarter. It'll be a quarterly publication, electronic, of course. And our very first one is on the theme of financial hope. So if you have not subscribed for our brand new MoneyWise e-magazine, we'd love for you to do that. Just head over to moneywiselive.org. You'll see near the top a place you can click to subscribe. Give us your email address. That email address will never be sold or used for another purpose other than to provide you real value, godly counsel as it relates to managing managing his money. And our summer edition will be out in late June, Steve, and it will be all about marriage, money, and families. So how you can lean into that topic from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, we're really excited about this magazine. You've got a lot of great information, biblical, practical. There's some areas in there that I think you'll find fun. So check it out today. And as we mentioned, it's absolutely free. Now, when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org, search around. There are lots of free resources there. There are archives to our past radio programs, and it's a way that you can make a donation or a gift. MoneyWise Media is a not-for-profit 501c3 ministry, and we depend greatly on your partnership, your stewardship, your participation, and your prayers. So if you'd like to make a gift today, it would be vital, and a gift of any size would be a blessing. Also, gifts to many radio stations this time of year as well. Right, Rob?
Well, that's exactly right. This is a great time to be generous if you have more than you need beyond your giving to your local church. And guess what, Steve? Brand new news, hot off the press. MoneyWise Media is now ECFA certified, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability.
Well, you know what? I didn't even know that myself, so that's fantastic news. They're a great organization. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio, another great organization, and MoneyWise Media. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.